Welcome to Christ Church International's podcast. We are a faith-filled, spirit-filled gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus. Souls from every nation, one at a time. We are based out of northern Colorado in a beautiful and vibrant city called Longmont. Come join us as we proclaim Jesus is Lord to our generation.
I'd like you guys to stretch out your hands to me and just say grace. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I receive your grace today. Praise the Lord. I'll begin preaching now. I'll start out with prayer. Father, I need your help today. I need your help to communicate what you want me to say. Lord, I pray that that Jesus would be exalted and that people would come away with strong faith, Lord. And I pray that people's lives would be changed. Those who are here, but also those who watch this video, Lord, whenever, wherever it is. And we thank you for doing that. Holy Spirit, I thank you for giving me utterance that I'd say exactly what needs to be said and that I wouldn't say what shouldn't be said today in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So I encourage everybody to pray for your pastors because what we prepare and what we tell you on Sundays is going to change and affect your lives. So we need to hear from God so that you can hear from God. And that's kind of how God set this thing up. So I'm kind of humbled by that reality. It's true, though. We need you guys to pray for us. So when we come into your mind, release forgiveness, release love, and then pray that the Lord would speak to us clearly so that we can declare what God wants to do in this earth. I don't know whose sunglasses these are, but guess what? Your future is so bright, you're going to have to wear sunglasses to see it. Praise the Lord. And what I've been saying lately is that Jesus is the high priest of good things to come. So I don't know what problem you're wrestling with today, but you start declaring it over that problem. Switch it from fear and anxiety to faith and courage and say, in Jesus' name, Jesus has become the high priest of good things to come. Praise the Lord. So I have a prophetic message today. I'm going to talk about some pretty exciting things here. If I could get some ushers to hand these guys out. We have a cheat sheet you guys can follow along for our small groups. Ooh, we got two guys, so I will hand two out. Awesome. So I have lots of information today to talk about. Some of these things you guys might not have heard about. Some of you might have. But the title of the message today is Wonders in the Heavens Above and Signs in the Earth Beneath. Okay? So this is really fitting, I think, because of what we're seeing. This year has been really pretty crazy. It's been crazy for multiple reasons. Just the pace of how things are going quickly in the earth, the news, but also people getting saved. Just our ministry has been radically transformed, and people are being saved constantly. And the things going on with our building and all these things that are exciting. So I want to start out with Joel 2:30, which is really the key the verse for today, which was quoted by the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 2. And I'll just read it. It says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So if you're wondering where that verse comes from, it's here. If you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. That's right. So call on the name of the Lord Jesus, and you'll be saved. So I have another couple of verses I'd like to share with you. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. This has been in my heart lately. Daniel was pretty amazing how many things the Lord showed him. Dreams, visions, angels, angelic visitation. I even think in one chapter, the Lord Jesus visited him personally, which is very interesting. So it says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. If that's one of the things that describes the information age, is that many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Yep. Now, I've been thinking, that could have happened at any point in history, 200 years of tremendous technological breakthrough. Could have happened in the Babylonian Empire, could have happened in the Roman Empire, but no, God waited for a Christian empire, if I can say it that way. I hate to say it that way. A Christian republic that would preach the gospel all across the world. That is where the Lord brought tremendous revelation technologically through, and just for the time of the end. Praise the Lord. So today I want to tell you, you are living in the time of the end.
We are. That's right.
Praise the Lord. And Matthew chapter 10:27 says, whatever I tell you in the dark, Jesus is talking, says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. So I think the time has come that we need to start declaring the prophetic things that we're hearing from the Lord. And there's so much revelation that's coming that we have to start speaking and telling people what's happening. So first, I'd like to start by talking just briefly about the absolute authority of the Bible and the Scripture. We've lost that in our culture, and we have to tell people, why do we believe the Scripture? Because it's the absolute authority that the Christian and the whole world is based off of. So I got four verses, but I'll just read a couple. Matthew 24:35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. That's what Jesus said. He said, my words will never pass away. And Hebrews 1:3, it says, it's talking about Jesus, who is the glory of God. It says, he upholding all things by the word of his power. So that everything you look at, everything you can touch, feel, even can't see, God is upholding it by the word of his power. And we know from the first chapter of Genesis that it says God spoke into existence everything that is. He said, light be, he spoke it into existence. And we know that's how God operates. He calls things that are not as though they were. He speaks things into existence. Praise the Lord. There's another couple of verses I'll just share with you. You can look up on your own time. John 1:1-3 and 2 Timothy 3:16. So I'd just like to briefly say, what is a wonder? We've been talking about wonders, and today is about wonders in the heaven and wonders in the earth. So what is a wonder? Psalm 119:18 says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. So we need God to open our eyes, because it's amazing that the Bible, you can't comprehend the Bible unless the Lord opens your understanding. That's why it's foolishness to the world, because the Lord needs to open, because the Bible is a supernatural book. You have to have your understanding opened in order to actually see what's there and to believe it. People need their eyes to be unblinded in order to see Jesus as the Lord, Jesus as the Christ, Jesus as the Messiah. So this definition of a wonder has really blessed me. A wonder is something beyond the human ability to grasp, do, or achieve. So that's why we have to pray, you know, say, Lord, reveal to me what is being spoken today. When you're reading your Bible, you know, every day, you say, Lord, show me what this means, because I don't understand. I can't humanly comprehend the Bible unless you reveal it to me. Yep. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. A few things that I've been really blessed by is that the Lord is the revealer of secrets. The Lord has shown himself. That's one of his names. The Lord is the revealer of secrets. He wants to show the believer secrets. And the Lord, we know, is a prophetic God. He calls things, it says in Isaiah 46, that he declares the end from the beginning. God speaks what is going to happen. You know, I was thinking, you know, when that ruling came out, it's like, you know what? God has already been in this day. He's seen it. He knew it was going to happen. It disappoints him, but he knew it was going to happen. It doesn't surprise him. Same thing for anything in your life that's happened. God's not surprised, but he has a plan. If you partner with him, he has a plan to bring it all about for your very best to the believer.
Yes, thank you.
So let's get to the signs in the heavens above. So I think some of these things are going to excite you guys. First off, though, is I want to point out something that is going to happen in the last days. We're in the last days, and so the Scripture says in 2 Peter, it warns us, it says that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. People willingly forget that there's a worldwide flood. That is why we have a fossil record, is because of the worldwide flood. You guys ever heard the song, billions of dead things buried in rock layers all over the earth? if there really was a worldwide flood, what would the evidence be? Billions of dead things buried. It's really a faith-building song. I love it. It's evidence. It's evidence. People talk about, there must have been an asteroid that hit the earth. It was a flood. A flood. Duh. Think about it. An asteroid. They're like, asteroid, okay. Asteroid, they say, well, there's mud. You cover all these things rapidly. You compress dinosaurs. So we're going to have a dinosaur day here for kids here soon. But that is such a faith builder. People willingly forget that God judged this earth because of sin. They forget that. And they mock it. And so I don't have time to go into the whole, you know, creationistic teaching. Creationistic isn't a word. The creation teaching. But people in the scientific community want you to think that things have not changed from the beginning. They want you to think that volcanoes and earthquakes and solar eclipses are just, they happen all the time. It doesn't mean anything, no big deal. Because it's happened for millions of years. That's what the scientific community say. They want you to think this is all normal. The animals act this way. Why shouldn't humans? You know, because we're all animals, after all. That's what we're taught. Okay? So they scoff and they say, what, Jesus isn't coming. Because what's changed? Nothing's changed. You know, what does the scripture say? It says, as in the days of Noah, you know, people will be having parties, people will be working, people will be getting married and given in marriage. It's going to be normal. You know, the stock market's going to rise, the stock market's going to crash. People are going to go broke, people are going to become very rich. It's just going to happen. But the same day as in the day of Noah, and then the flood happened and everything changed. And that's the same thing that's going to happen when Jesus returns. Your day is going to be pretty normal. And if you're not ready, if you're not looking, if you're not waiting, it's going to come and surprise you. What does the Bible say? Just like a thief in the night, you're going to be completely shocked. And if, you know, caught sinning or whatever, if you're not serving the Lord. So wake up, guys. Jesus is coming soon. So I want to talk about, should Christians look at stars? I think it's really quick. I want to go over this real quick. First off, according to the Bible, we do not believe in astrology, and it's not okay for Christians to be involved in horoscopes and the occult. It's not right. It's not good. We don't do it. Okay? So there's a difference between astronomy and astrology. I don't know if everybody's taken an astronomy class, but I had a problem between the two words because I didn't know the difference. Astronomy is the study of the stars, study of the heavens. Astrology is occult, you know, soothsaying, like, you know, and I'm sure everybody knows what that's about. Yeah. But I want to tell you something. God created the heavens.
That's right.
God created the stars. And Genesis 1:14 says, it says, then God said, this is the very beginning of the Bible. It says, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, for days and for years. So the stars are for signs and seasons, days and years. Isn't that cool? They're for signs and seasons. So God is telling us what the signs are in the heavens. He's showing the signs in the heavens and the seasons in the heavens. And so those are changing. And so God, if God created the whole thing, I think he can tell us his story. You know, we think about the Star of Bethlehem. There's a fascinating DVD called, I think it's called The Star of Bethlehem, by a lawyer who really went through, and now with modern technology, we can actually go back to, you know, Jesus' day 2,000 years ago and actually see exactly what the night skies look like. And I mean his theories are pretty cool. And he's a lawyer. He's got like 9 points that really line up because they have to all fit if you're building an argument. So I think we could say we kind of know what the Star of Bethlehem was. And actually, I want to mention something about that in a bit. But the book of Job tells us that God created the constellations. You know, it even mentions the Pleiades. It mentions Orion. It mentions different constellations. God created the constellations. And it's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. You know, I don't have time to teach about the zodiac, which, you know, Satan always twists things around. He always takes good things and twists them around. But Satan didn't put the stars up there. You know, astrologers didn't put the stars up there. God put them up there. So I want to tell you that, you know, stars do not control your life.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So you need to, if you're submitted to the astrology, you know what? You're submitting your lives to demons, and they can control your life. But you need to get right with God. We submit to him. He's got a great plan for our lives. He'll fix it. Let's go to Psalm 19 real quick. Psalm 19. I'm excited to share this message today because there's some exciting things happening. And it's all coming together in our time. I love the verbs here. If you look at Psalm 19, 1, starting in 1, it's all verbs about speech, okay? About the stars, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So the stars are speaking to you. They're not controlling your life, but they're telling a story that God is speaking. And I think as Americans, what we do is we spend our nights watching TV or whatever. And maybe it's not TV. We're inside. But in the ancient world, everybody was, you know, they're looking at the stars because there's no streetlights, right? So everybody sees the stars. I've even heard it say that, you know, in the summer nights, they'd be sleeping on top of the roofs, you know, like in Israel or whatever, because it was hot, right? So they'd be, and everybody's looking at the stars, telling stories. And so they knew what was going on in the heavens. Even Paul was making an argument that you guys have seen these things. You saw the star Bethlehem. You knew what was happening. You knew that there were signs in the heavens. And so God is doing the same thing today. He's speaking to us through the heavens. He's speaking to us through the heavens to us. And we got to see what's going on. So first off, I just want to say that sometimes supernatural things can seem very natural. I love what Sid Ross says on his show, naturally supernatural. Like sometimes there's things that we don't realize that God's doing something. I just read the verse a few minutes ago that knowledge is increasing. So I think one of the first, you might think this is silly, but I think it's true. And it says there are natural signs in the heavens. And I think that most people wouldn't consider remarkable. But if you think about the explosion of knowledge just in the past, I don't know, 10 years, 50 years, you know, of the knowledge exploding. Like think about the Hubble telescope or like the lunar landing, all these things that there's so much knowledge of the stars. I think simply by that knowledge exploding, that's signs in the heavens on a level. And I just throw a couple, one thought out here, just interesting, okay? If we're in the end times, I think it's interesting that there's a Pluto mission reaching like one of the farthest dwarf planets, where they call it now, July 14th. So that's this year. That's the closest flyby Pluto that mankind has ever been. This year, interesting, okay? So that's a sign in the heaven. Maybe a human-made sign, but hey, it's in the heaven. Praise God. So now I want to just mention, I have a slide up here for, do you have the one about Jupiter and Venus, if you could put it up here? Okay, so it's kind of hard to see, actually. But I just wanted to point out that Tuesday night, have you guys seen the two stars that are in the western sky towards sunset or after sunset? Okay, so that's Jupiter and Venus. So they're not stars. They're wandering stars, as they're called in astronomy. And you need to see the Star of Bethlehem because it's pretty amazing. But the video, the video, you need to see it because in a video he talks about really amazing things. Like Jupiter and Venus, I think, is one of the things that he was saying was like the Star of Bethlehem. You think about it, it's like the brightest star you'd ever see. One of the brightest stars you ever see. And so it's in the constellation Leo, and we know that's the lion, and that represents the Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ. And one of the stars in Leo is Regulus, which I think is the bright one over here. And Regulus comes from the word to rule, you know, which represents king. And so this is actually going to happen Tuesday night. So you're going to actually see this Tuesday night if it's not cloudy. So don't get upset if it's cloudy. Let's, you know, pray that it doesn't cloud. Because they're going to touch Jupiter and Venus, and it's going to be one of the brightest stars you ever see. You can turn the lights back on, guys. So I think that's interesting. I think it's very interesting. I think there's some symbolism there. I'm not going to say, I'd have to do more study to say, this is the Star of Bethlehem reappearing in the sky. I don't know. But I think it's interesting, in the book of Matthew, it says that the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens. It says the sign of the Son of Man. And I think, hey, that's interesting. Because it says the sign of the Son of the Man will appear. And then it says, and then he will appear and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. So is that the sign of the Son of Man? I don't know. But there are signs in the heavens that God is saying, hey, something's up. Something's up.
Something's up. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So let's go now to lunar lunar and solar eclipses. You can pull that that slide up. So how many of you guys have heard about the lunar and solar eclipses that have been happening? So John Hagee did a series, and we actually heard it from like a rabbi first who came. I don't know who came up with it or who discovered it first. Obviously, God created the whole thing. But basically, we have seen three solar eclipses. And solar eclipse, lunar eclipse is when the moon passes in front of the sun. And this is one of the natural proofs, I think, is the sun and the moon just happen to be the exact same size in the sky. Okay, I'm not going to get into that, but that's a pretty cool natural proof that God created this whole thing, okay? Okay, so we've seen three lunar eclipses, and we've seen, the interesting thing is that these four lunar eclipses are all visible. I have a NASA article here that said it's interesting. It says, the most unique thing about the 2014 to 2015 tetrad, which is what this is called because there's four lunar eclipses, is that all of them are visible for all or parts of the USA. It was very unusual. So God is speaking. Traditionally, in the rabbis in the Jewish tradition, is that the lunar. I'll just explain just a little bit. We go off of as Gentiles, and all the nations, most of the nations of the world, go off of a solar calendar. Is the sun is the big deal. That's what we go off of. Whereas the Jewish and the Islamic calendars are based off of the moon, which is lunar. And so they have like 29-day months kind of thing, and they cycle, and there's different. So the new moon and the full moon are always how the feasts fall out in the beginning of the month, end of the month. And so somehow the United States is prophetically connected and tied to Israel. We are. And so I think it's interesting that this year and last year, God is broadcasting to the American people, wake up, there's something happening, and all of these are happening on a feast day or very, very close to them, like Passover or the Feast of Tabernacles. So they're happening on these dates, and that's just kind of how the solar lunar cycles work. So there's another one coming this year on the 28th. So these are very interesting. So do they happen often? In the past century, they've happened often, like several times. But it says in this article, this NASA scientist wrote, it says, during the 300 years interval from 1600 to 1900, for instance, there were no tetrads at all. So it doesn't happen all the time. Praise the Lord. And so, yes, they are called blood moons. It says, why red? And it says, you might expect Earth seen in this way to be utterly dark, but it's not. If you were on the moon, as it were, you would see the rim of the planet is on fire because you're seeing all of the sunsets at one time. And so with the light, the way the light shifts, blah, blah, blah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So it turns red. How many of you guys have actually seen one of these things? They're really cool. So it's a sign in the heavens. All right. So that's the first thing on my stack of stuff here. So God is speaking to the earth. God is speaking to the United States. What did we just read in Joel? What does it say? It says, and the moon will be turned into blood before the coming and great and awesome the day of the Lord. It says, the sun will be turned to darkness. So, hey, could this be it? I think so. I don't know if this, you know, we're not sure exactly when the Lord's coming. But, hey, you guys are in the end times.
That's right.
This is the end times. Praise the Lord. So let's talk a bit more. Okay. So let's go to signs in the earth beneath. Okay. First thing I want to talk about is the Israeli indicator, Israel. I know this is a lot of information, but thanks guys for keeping up here. So the Israel indicator is we're looking at prophecies that God prophesied in Isaiah 11. It says he in verse 12, it says he will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And I love this. In verse 14, it says, but they shall fly down upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. So God prophesied. He prophesied that God would bring all the Jews back to the land. And it also says that it was going to happen on airplanes. Isn't that cool? So, and it's happened. You know, in 1948, 1949, that's when the UN recognized Israel as Israel. It wasn't Palestine anymore. It was Israel, and gave Jews back their land. And all, and for the past 60, 70 years now, I think it's almost, is that Jews have been coming back. And what they call that is the Aliyah, is coming back to the land. And also it says in Zechariah 8, it prophesies how that the Jews would live in the midst of and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And so the Lord, there's prophecies in the Bible about how Jerusalem, they'll come in and dwell in Jerusalem too. And we see in 1967 and 1968 that the Jews, through the Six-Day War, reclaimed Jerusalem. And so these are indicators that we're living in the end times. We're living in the end times. So I'd like to go to the next point, and that's volcanoes, pillars of smoke. I've never seen this before, and if you have, forgive me. But I just like, hey, what is a pillar of smoke? It's a volcano. Right? Totally. It's a volcano. Right? So totally a volcano, guys. Okay. So what is happening? I mean, people want to tell us that, you know what, this has always happened. There's always been volcanoes. There's always been earthquakes, blah, blah, blah. There's no increase, blah, blah, blah. But Jesus said there would be earthquakes. Jesus said that these things would be signs, pillars of smoke, praise the Lord. I was just typing volcano, right? So the first thing, there's apparently, let's see, this is dated the 26th of June, okay? It says Indonesia volcano erupts 3 times in hours. More than 10,000 people have been evacuated as volcanic activity in Mount Sinabung shows no signs of abating. So, I mean, volcanoes are happening now. So that's pretty amazing. You guys remember the Icelandic volcano in 2010 that disrupted European air travel and American air travel? And so that was a big one. There was one in Japan in 2014 that killed 54 people. And Chile's Calbuco volcano is just like lots of stuff going on in Chile. Lots of volcanic activity. So that's been prophesied about. Earthquakes. Matthew 24, 7 through 8, Jesus said, "For nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in very place. All these are the beginning of sorrows." So I just want to talk just briefly about volcano or earthquakes. And we all, I know I was very close to the Nepal earthquake. It was very weird coming back from Nepal 10 days before the earthquake happened. And we have friends who were there, lots of friends who were impacted, who were completely like in shock, apparently, what happened. I have some friends who were, they're going to go get on like a, what do you call it? Like a, why, Zilbon. What's the word for Zilbon? Gondola.
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird. Sorry. like a cable car, right? So they were there, and they just got on it after the earthquake because they didn't know what else to do, which is like, are you serious? I would not have done that. So anyway, so I just wanted to say a few things interesting. I want to say this because I think the Lord showed me this, is I feel that it's important to see that the Nepali earthquake is significant because it's the top of the earth, and it's, you know, Mount Everest, that's where the very highest point in the earth is Mount Everest. And that is the top of the earth. So the top of the earth was shaken. And I also want to point out Mount Everest base camp, there was an avalanche, and one of Google's executives was killed. And I think that's significant because Google represents one of the most powerful companies in the world. I mean, they own YouTube. Hello, like, powerful company, right? And most everybody uses their Gmail, right? So, like, they're a powerful company. So God is saying something to the nations. He's saying, you know, watch out. You know, so that is significant. And, of course, the news of this week is pretty amazing. God is shaking. You know, what does the Bible say? Everything that will be shaken, can be shaken, will be shaken. So you better get your life founded on the Word of God and on your relationship with Jesus. I want to also say, I was asking the Lord and say, Lord, what is this about this Nepali earthquake? And Zechariah 3:9, I opened my Bible and I saw this, and I feel like maybe this is tied there somehow. And it says, I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And I was like, wow, praise God. God is doing a tremendous work in Nepal right now. There are nations that the gospel is just going so fast, and people are coming to Christ. in amazing numbers. So I believe that is prophetic there. So the Lord is removing iniquity in one day. Praise the Lord. All right, I want to get to the three outcries. So we're talking about signs in the earth beneath. And I think this is really significant based on our news today, this week. Genesis 19:13, this is talking about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm not going to get into that too much. But it says, the outcry against them, talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and the sin and depravity of those cities, it says, has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And he's talking about the angels. The angels were sent to destroy it. So it says the outcry is great. So there are three outcries that have grown great before the Lord. And so I want to point these out today to really say, you know what, guys? There is nothing left for judgment to strike America. Nothing left. There's nothing left. The cry of the innocents is the first one. Psalm 139:13-14 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works." Life begins at conception. And that's fact. And abortion is murder. And you can disagree with that, but that's how God thinks. And the cry of the innocent is full. There's millions. I think it's way over 50 million, is it now? 50 million children who've been murdered in the womb, the safest place, you know, on this earth that should be. You know, I heard a list just recently. There were great men, just men and women who their mothers had an opportunity to abort them. And the names were Steve Jobs and John Paul II and Celine Dion and some great, great people I think even Andrea Bocelli, great people who have been murdered, who have not changed. Think about it. How many millions of Steve Jobs could there have been who have been murdered? Of course, you know, there is grace for those who have made a mistake. The Lord will forgive you and will, I believe, heal you. And we love you here. So that's the first cry. I mean, that is, how are we any better than the Mayans and the Aztecs and all those wicked cultures that were in the Middle East back in the day that sacrificed their children to the gods of fire? How are we any better? There's no better. It's just more antiseptic now, more out of our sight, out of our mind. We're no better than the heathens. So the second cry is the cry of the earth. And this is controversial, but it's true. Leviticus 18:24-25 says, "Do not defy yourselves with any of these things." And this, actually, right before here, it lists all the perverse sexual things and sins that people can get engaged in. And I'm not going to preach about that today, but it says, "Do not defy yourselves with any of these things. For by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you, for the land is defiled. Therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it." And it says, "And the land vomits out its inhabitants." So there's a cry of the earth. The land will vomit out its inhabitants. I think it's so amazing. I think Hollywood is prophetic in some ways, and I hope we never see the San Andreas fault go off. But is that a prophetic thing? I hope not. But that's, think about earthquakes. That's land vomiting out its inhabitants. In the Old Testament, there were some cases where the land actually swallowed people because of their sin. Okay, Romans 8:18-22. But this is the good news. It says, "Creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." So that's what's happening, is creation is groaning and travailing with birth pangs, volcanoes, earthquakes. Because creation, newsflash, creation was not born to be under sin. It was not created to be around sin.
Right.
So our sin, your sin, this nation's sin, this whole world's sin is actually affecting. That's the big environmental problem,
right,
is our sin.
That's right.
And the answer is not to exterminate the human race, like some green wackos would think. The answer is Jesus, that we would receive his cleansing and forgiveness. Okay, the third cry And this is an amazing cry. It is the cry of the martyrs. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. It says, "And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." Wow. And we have to ask all of ourselves, are we willing to pay the ultimate price for our Lord? I believe if any of us are, the Lord prepares for that day. And I want to point out that this is happening now. I hope none of you have watched or seen those videos that ISIS has been posting, but what are they doing? They're martyring our brothers and sisters and doing horrible things to them, but they're standing strong. I think a while ago, one of those brothers were strong and they said, we're believers, we're Christians, and you can kill us, but we're Christians. And I just want to briefly point out Revelations 24, 20 verse 4, it clearly says that the regime of the Antichrist, it says that, I'll just read it. It says, "Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So in the book of Revelation, the martyrs will be martyred by beheading. So it's here. It's happening. So that's amazing. Matthew 24, I should take it back. It's not, actually, is it here in the U.S.? I know it's happened in Canada, but you know what? The Lord is going to protect us. He's going to protect us. Praise the Lord. So I want to say another couple of things that I think is kind of interesting. The generations. I want to talk about generations real quick. You know, Jesus, if you read Matthew 24, it talks about all the signs. And then he says something interesting. He says, I'm not saying that everything has happened yet that's been prophesied, but he says in Matthew chapter 24, he's talking about the parable of the fig tree. He says, "When its branches has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that is near at the door." So Jesus is saying we can know the season. We can know the season of his return. We might not know the day, but we can know the season. We can know the time. And he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." So there is a generation. There's a generation that will see everything happen.
That's right.
And the generation will not pass away until the Lord returns. So my question is, are we that generation? Are we that generation that will see Jesus return? So I want to just share, maybe it's an insight, I don't know, you can judge. I was talking to Dad the other day, and I told him, I was thinking about the names that have been given to the different generations. You know, we're all familiar with the greatest generation. And my grandparents, you know, who fought World War II. And praise God, we're successful at winning. And then it says, what else do we have? The baby boomers, and then there's Gen X, then there's millennials. And I think I'm probably millennial, you know, people born in the 80s to the early 2000s. But I was thinking, hey, guess what? There's kids here like, you know, like Casey. When were you born, Casey?
2001.
2001, okay. So they're like the new crop. And then I was thinking, you know what? Hey, my generation's starting to have kids. My brother's getting married. Whoa. You know, like, and I was like, what? So I was thinking, what is the next generation going to be called? So we had, you know, the greatest generation. We've had Gen X. We've had millennials or Gen Y. And so they're actually talking about calling them Gen Z. Generation Z, okay? And I was like, that's really interesting. Obviously, that's not biblical. I can't say we are the final generation. But hey, even the secular people are maybe prophesying that we could be the last generation. So we're seeing all these things. So I believe that Gen Y and Gen Z will see the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. And I just want to encourage everybody with this, that I would like to live 120 years because that's what the Bible's promised. So I have to plan my life as if I will get another 98 years. Or whatever. Maybe my math is bad. 98 years, whatever. 92, okay, something like that. I have to live my life and I have to plan. I have to plan that. But I have to live my life fully persuaded that the return of the Lord is imminent. It could happen at any moment. We'll talk about that later, Sean. We have to live our lives completely convinced that the Lord could return today. I'd like to just share with you a deception in the church that I read. And people are accusing, you know, they're saying, hey, the new legalism is living radically for Jesus, living full out for Jesus. They're calling that the new legalism. And I was like, what did Jesus say? If you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth.
That's right.
Be hot or cold.
Right.
Jesus, he himself said that, right? So we're supposed to serve the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. So don't give in to that. Don't say, Matthew, you're being legalist. I should just be an average Christian because that's good. Because I don't want to be legalist. No, Jesus, I'm going to spew that kind of thinking out of my mouth and you with it.
That's right.
Right? Which is really scary. Even for those of us who are serving the Lord. We're like, man, am I hot enough? Am I cold enough? You know, what am I doing? Like, am I serving the Lord? Praise the Lord. So with all these things, I just want to tell you guys, fear not. Do not let your heart be troubled. Don't worry. God's going to take care of us. And like Dad was even saying, even in terrible governments, the Lord can take care of us. And when we need the Lord more, he's going to start manifesting more. And he's going to do more exciting things. Praise the Lord. So I want to declare that this is the year of God's greater glory.
Amen.
And that's the greater glory of God is still his plan. You know, I like to just think of the stories of the charismatic renewal that I heard, you know, when the 60s counterculture was in full swing, you know, the hippies and all the stuff and all the free love or whatever they call it, you know, make love, not war, all this stuff. Well, you know what? There was a grace that started to come and sweep the church. The whole church, the Catholic Church was involved, and people came to Christ and their lives were changed. And so I believe with the news of this week, I want you to know that we are on the brink. Because the word says where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. So I actually came in this morning and there was a song coming out of my heart. And it's the Lord, the love of God is stronger. How can the love of Jesus be stronger? Well, if the darkness gets darker, the light of God's turning up.
That's right. That's right.
Praise the Lord. So I believe the love of God is shining brighter and is going to start manifesting stronger in our hearts. So guys, don't let your love grow cold. You know, what does the word say? We're supposed to fervent love love each other with fervent love. And that's aggressive love. I love you because the love of Christ is in me.
That's right.
It's a choice.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. It's a love, agape love, a love that doesn't receive anything in return. It's I love you because God loves you.
That's right.
And because he's empowered me to love you. So I want you to know we're on the brink of something very big, a move of the Spirit that this world has never seen before.
That's right.
And the prophets are declaring the greater glory has begun. Brother Savell said that the door opened in 2014 for the greater glory. So, and we know from the word of God, Jesus talked about the parable of the tares and the weeds. They're growing up together. The weeds are growing up with the wheat. We're the wheat. And they're growing up at the same time, rubbing shoulders, rubbing elbows, whatever. But the wheat is growing and righteousness is coming to full fruit. Same time as wickedness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to declare the glory of this latter house, the latter temple, shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Praise the Lord. So guys, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Confess the Lord before men because he'll confess you before his Father in heaven. And Matthew 10, I'd just like to say, Matthew 10, 34 says, he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Does that sound like legalism to you? No, Jesus is saying, this is what you need to do.
That's right.
You know, what does the scripture say? The way to death is broad. But the believer gets to see the whole thing. We see the broad way and the narrow way. And the narrow way is what leads to life. So we have to take that narrow way. Praise the Lord. So I just want to encourage you guys, Jesus is coming soon. So make your adjustments. Whatever you need to make adjustments in your life, you need to make those adjustments. And now's the time to serve the Lord. Now's the time to call your relatives. Now's the time to tell people about Jesus. Because what happens if he walks in the door in September? What happens if he walks in the door? And by that I mean the earth. What happens if Jesus shows up and you were found not serving him like you know you should be? Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you right now for the word. We thank you for these exciting things, these signs in the heavens and the earth. And Lord, I thank you that we can walk in this life without fear, we don't have to be afraid because you're with us. Lord, your word says you're our shepherd, that your rod and your staff comfort us. And Lord, we're going to stay close to you as the times get darker. And Lord, I thank you. I ask for your love to just go stronger, Lord. That your word says that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord Jesus, we need you so much right now. We need you. We need you so much, Lord, as the days get darker. We need your help. And we thank you, Lord, for doing exciting things in our times. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's podcast. We would like to invite you to come join us sometime soon. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. at the Byrne Building, 527 Main Street, Longmont, Colorado. You can find out more about our ministry by going to www.christchurchinternational.org or www.innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado, 80502.